Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high-banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
And just like that, we begin tonight. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Let me see here. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior in the Racetime Radio Studio. And, man, we got a dandy lined up for you tonight here on RTR. Junior, what did you think of that weekend? We got a little bit of truck racing in. We got a little bit of cup racing in, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, big lineup. Hats off right off the beginning of the show here to Ross Chastain and really the entire truck field, because I don't think there's any top in that truck race that we've seen this past weekend from Kansas. The best mile-and-a-half racing that I've ever watched from NASCAR, and there was two of them.
Yeah.
The cup race and the truck race. Both of them spectacular. Hats off. Good job. That's how you put people in the grandstands. It was exciting. Lots of people talking about it, and good weekend all in all.
Yeah, those same trucks, those same guys in those trucks coming to Canada at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. Don't forget about that. The Silverado 250 weekend, it is coming up. Tickets are on sale for that. Oh, and by the way, while I mention it, tonight's program is brought to you by Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, and Victoria Day Fest is this weekend coming up. So get your tickets for that as well. Big Pinty's weekend, that's where you're heading, right?
It is for sure. Going to be a massive weekend over in Mossport / Bowmanville, and as well over at Sunset Speedway. Going to be a good weekend, all in all. There's a lot of buzz heading into this weekend in the NASCAR Pinty Series and as well in the APC Series. So, the amount of buzz that we're hearing just from Ontario about these two events are spectacular, and it's definitely going to be fun to be a part of.
Yeah, we got racing breaking out all across the country. We're going to highlight some of that for you tonight. Let me see here. Our first guest that we're going to start out with is Greg Proud. He drives that number 29, that big red Dodge for Atlantic Dodge Dealers out in PEI. Greg Proud's going to join the program tonight. We'll catch up with him, see how he's getting set for the Parts for Truck Tour. We'll also talk NASCAR Pinty's with a two-time winner last year, two-time champion as well. We got Andrew Ranger coming on here, driver of that big Dodge. Speaking of Dodges,
Andrew Ranger has had an off-season to write home about. He has been doing a lot of fun stuff. Keeping up with him, just watching what he's been up to. Nothing to do with racing, though.
No.
He's been riding snowmobiles. He's been on beach vacations. He's been getting his racing program put together, kind of on the back burner. But he's coming into the season loose and ready to go. And you can tell it's going to be interesting to catch up with him. But he got a chance to get out and go testing the week before the NASCAR Open Test at CTMP. So he's been on track, got to shake down the 27 car, and we'll get a chance to catch up with him and see what he's got cooking for this season. It's going to be really interesting. He was a championship favorite every time he straps into a car. Last year, lights out speed at every track that we went to, and mechanical gremlins got us through the middle portion of that season. But he, every single weekend in the speed charts, he was top three, top five, practice qualifying and in the race. And, if you're able to string that all together, that's how you win a championship in the Pinty Series. And by the sounds of it and also by the looks of it, towards the end of last season. They got their mechanical woes figured out, and DJK and Andrew Ranger are back together again. It's going to be really interesting to see what they can put together and heading into 2019.
Yeah, if he had a little bit of luck, too, last year, I know there was a few races that he could have used a little bit of luck. Either that or a little more talent on the official end of things would have helped him out. But anyway,
absolutely,
that's what they make New Year's for. We'll hear from Ron Fellows tonight, too, talking Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, CTMP, coming up Victoria Day Fest. We're going to talk to Ron. We always do ahead of this weekend. And we'll hear from Jamie Cox, driver of the number 22 for APC in the APC Series. Do you see his new car?
Yes, the black with the oil splash up the side, total up the side. You know, the 22 camp, you know, the APC Canusa camp have always brought a really nice race car to the racetrack.
Always.
Every single year. Now, I will say, the past two seasons, they've went with a very plain Jane, clean-looking car. And, you know, the white number 22 with, you know, single-color decals. And just a, it's not ugly. It's just very, very plain.
Right.
But going from what they had last year and the year prior to what they've got this year, wow, they went splashy.
Yeah.
And the car looks really good, though. The photos are definitely out there. You're going to get a chance to see it this coming weekend on the racetrack. We'll talk to them about that. A little bit of sponsor changes by the looks of it on the car as well, and some additional sponsorship from last season and from previous seasons. So they've always got a really neat-looking race car. They mixed it up a little bit. They went to the black color. I've never seen Jamie Cox in a black car other than in a modified. So, you know, we'll see what they're you know, on the cusp of being super fast every single weekend. It'll be interesting to hear what they've done over the off season to get them to the point where they're going to be a championship contender.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I looking at Jamie Cox and where he comes from and what he's all about, he wants to win races. And you know, through his tenure at Delaware Speedway, in a modified, he won basically every single night. I think the 3 years that I was there, just a bullet. And since he has stepped into pro late model racing, he hasn't been the, you know, consistent winner like he wants to be and like that team wants to be. But looking at what they've done over the off season, you know, I've heard lots of different things about what they've done and put together. And it'll be really interesting to see what they come out of the gate swinging with this year.
Yeah, that Daco 100 presented by Quaker State. It is the season opener for the APC Series, presented by Grisdale. Lots of presents in there, but that's a good thing. It is the kickoff next Saturday at Sunset Speedway, so you got to be out there and join us. We'll all be at Sunset Speedway, and Racetime Radio will have live coverage every lap, every single lap, and some pre-race, some post-race. Absolutely everything will be on RTR Live worldwide, absolutely free. But you want to experience that race, you're going to want to be there at Sunset Speedway with us.
Yes, 100%. Make sure you jump in the car and come on over. I don't think I need to tell anybody about how good the APC racing is. It's really good.
And
it's definitely worth the watch. It's going to be funny. You know, we've got practice and qualifying, and it's funny how many Pinty Series team members are heading over to Sunset after the practice and qualifying at CTMP.
Yeah.
You know, just talking to, you know, a bunch of our team. You know, we've got myself, Donald Reinhart. Donald's going to be spotting for the Lapsevich boy for Trayton. And then you've got Steve Simmons, you know, longtime spotter for J.R. Fitzpatrick and spotter for, like, with DJK Racing as well. And then myself. It's really interesting to see how many guys are making the trip over on Saturday night for the APC race. So it's going to be so exciting. There's a lot of people that are jacked up about it.
Yeah, good for Sunset. They did get out of the gate just last night.
Yes, for sure.
It looks like Dwayne Baker won one.
Yep.
And it looks like Danny Benedict went to victory
Absolutely.
Lane. So those are your two winners there. Flamborough Speedway in a pro late model. J.R. Fitzpatrick went down there. man, he won both of them on Saturday night. So four races there at Flamborough, four feature races. J.R. Fitzpatrick's got three of them. The other one went to Sean Chenoweth, but then destroyed his car in the second one. So
Yeah, definitely.
I seen the body off Sean's car. He said full body off restoration. Yeah. So he's working on it.
Yeah, definitely. And Mike Schmidt released a statement earlier this week on Facebook, kind of outlining the change to their plans. You know, obviously the damaged race car, you know, it forces you to sometimes change your schedule around. For the first couple nights, you know, you're allowed to have a substitute driver. So Andy Kamrath is going to drive the 89. And then for the rest of the year, Sean Chenoweth will be back out. But they're going to miss a couple races. They're changing their schedule around to accommodate the repairs, and then they'll get back after it. But, you know...
Is that with respect to Flamborough points
to
or Flamborough, ABC?
To Flamborough points.
Oh, to Flamborough's. Yeah. So the 35 becomes the 89.
Yes.
Gotcha.
By the looks of it.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, I did get corrected. I said it was a Scott Shaw chassis, not a Scott Shaw chassis. That was last week. It was a Jeff Hanley chassis that got bent up. So,
oh, was it?
You know, Hanley will be able to cut her apart and weld her back together just like she was new again. People bend race cars all the time and they come back even stronger. So,
sure.
You know, there's...
don't want to bend it, don't race it.
Exactly.
Because it
100%.
Happens.
If you want a show car, you build a show car.
Doesn't matter whether it's lap one, night one, or whether it's lap 50 of a 50-lap race at the last night.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the potential of wrecking it, especially if you're going to try and get out there and win. And you know Sean always goes out to win. It doesn't matter whether it's a heat race.
100%. And you have to be like that. And you have to figure, you know, every one of these teams figure into their budget repair costs. And sometimes those are way over and above what you can plan for, and you know, sometimes they're not, and that unfortunately was not. But you know, the first APC race is going to be really interesting. You know, it seems like every single year, the initial opening race in really any late model division, it's either going to go green to checker, or there's going to be a record number of cautions. And judging by the excitement level of everybody that is going to be in the pit area on Sunday night or on Saturday night,
yeah,
this has got the potential to be a carnage-filled race. And unfortunately, that is the case. But when everybody is so excited and so pumped up and bringing their best to the racetrack is usually when stuff goes wrong. Hopefully it doesn't on Saturday night, but, you know, it's got the potential to be there. And by the sounds of it, the excitement level is at an all-time high.
Don't miss the Daco 100, in other words. It's going to be a dynamite race. I know we're all looking forward to it. Testing got underway for the Parts for Trucks Tour at Petty International Raceway. Wayne swung the gates open and opened it up to the guys. Seen some stuff that Timmy had on there. And it looks like it was well attended. Did you see most of that out there? 18 cars, I believe, out for practice, which is super.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen some good video just from poking around. I don't have any official numbers or anything like that, but I've seen some good video of old Black Betty out there, the 67, turning some laps as well, you know, getting a chance to take a look at some of the cars that were unloaded and shaken down. Really nice looking hardware out there, getting ready for the Parts for Trucks season opener. You know, as well, weeks before that, you've had guys like Kent Vincent, and you've had Dylan Gosby and those guys out there turning some laps. So there's the feeling is just as high out there as it is here. Getting ready for the APC race.
You want to believe it. So that's what we've got coming at you tonight. We'll hit this first break, and when we come back, we'll have Greg Proud with us. Stay with us.
Don't know I'm down here.
Yeah, this is Jeff Dunford, 70 Oscar Super Late Model. Listen to RTR, it's a great program.
In my soul, in my head.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, fly-to-fly coverage of the Cummins 150. Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flag-to-flag coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Your summer starts at the Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Blancpain GT World Challenge, plus the Canadian Tire Action Zone, music, and fireworks. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
It's a brand new season in the APC Le Moto Series. Saturday, May 18th from Sunset Speedway. Join us for live coverage of the Daco 100 presented by Quaker State.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Flag-to-flag coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 18th.
I think we're just a little bit quicker.
So you know you got to do.
The Daco 100, race one in the APC Le Moto Series.
I kind of overdrove it a couple times and... hey, it worked out.
Join us at the track or tune in worldwide only on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to sunsetspeedway.ca.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
And there we go. We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Let's jump to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in our first guest of the night. And he is getting set and ready to go for Petty International Raceway and the kickoff to the 2019 season in the Parts for Trucks Tour. This driver is all the way from PEI. He drives the number 29, that big red Dodge. Yeah, the Atlantic Dodge Dealers Dodge. Let's welcome in Greg Proud. What's going on there, Gregory? How you doing?
Well, not too bad. You, Joe?
Doing fantastic, my friend. So, did you get that car all finished off this weekend? You didn't get testing, did you?
No. We worked. The farm is real busy here right now, but we put a long day in Saturday, and we're down to just scaling the car, I guess, so we're getting closer.
You got to love it when you get that close. But then that's when the itch all starts, right, Greg? That's when you want to get into it and get out there and see what you got.
Oh, yeah. No, we're gonna try to get out to our home track here Tuesday night, we hope, if it doesn't rain, and see if we can get some bugs out of her and see what we can do.
See, I keep on telling, I work for an oil company called Certified out here in Ontario, and I deal with a lot of farmers, and plant 19 has been atrocious for everybody in this area. Were you actually out there planting right now, or were you just scratching the land? What were you doing?
There's some guys actually starting to plant here. Just last week was about the first anyone was able to get going. It's been such a wet spring, and yeah, it just put you behind a couple of weeks, but we're just scratching land right now. We're hoping to start planting tomorrow or Tuesday, so get that in as quick as we can and then get back to racing, I guess.
That definitely gets in the way of racing, absolutely. But looking at 2019, Greg, obviously, so this is the car that you ran in the 2018 Pro Stock Tour, correct?
Yes, this is a Van Dorn Racing development car. Johnny and Butch Van Dorn built the car for us, and it was a great car last year. We just had a few gremlins to get out of it, and I think we got them all out of it there toward the end of last year. We're looking forward to this year now.
Absolutely. Looking at the numbers in the Pro Stock Tour, it sounds like there's a lot of new iron once again rolling out there. Do you kind of point that as an advantage, having a year to shake it down, get everything kind of knocked out of it, and rolling out with knowing with what you got? Is that kind of a little bit of an advantage for you, looking at all the new iron that everybody's got to knock the bugs out of?
Yeah, I think some of our bugs are just a time thing. We don't have the time to put into the car that I should sometimes. But yeah, definitely, when you get new iron, there's bugs to get out of it, and I mean, just we had 3 flat tires last summer too, which bites you. But yeah, I'm hoping that we had the year. We got all these, you know, we had some brake issues that we figured out, and once you get all that stuff figured out, hopefully it'll be straightforward. And maybe with some of these other guys, might have some gremlins, and it'll work to our advantage.
Man, there's no doubt about it, Greg Proud. When you get out on that racetrack, there's no mistaking the power you got underneath your foot. There's no crate engine under the hood of that car.
No, we're definitely proud of our engine program. I mean, we did have a rough year last year. It was the first time we had an engine failure since we've been dealing with the guy in North Carolina that's been doing our engines, Brad Thrower. And we just found out it was a part failure is what happened, and nothing to do with what he did. But, you know, we got a lot of things fixed this winter, and I'm very proud of having the only engine. I believe we're the only big motor running in the tour right now, and I always like the big power, and I mean, that's the reason Dodge stays on board with us. They push the SRT brand, and which has always been known for horsepower, and Dodge has got the most horsepower on the street right now, and I think we do on the tour.
Now, it's been a couple of years since I've actually stood up against the wall and heard the field go by. The last time I was at Scotia Speed World, I, of course, stood in the exit of Turn 2 and called the race for RTR. At that time, there was Donald Chisholm and you were the only ones with a big motor. And I can attest that Dodge definitely, it sounded a little bit different than the rest of the field. And it gave you an advantage, because that's what my eyes locked to every single time you drove by.
Well, and you got to keep the tires on it, though, when you got
Absolutely.
That big horsepower, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that seems to be my biggest problem. But like I said, we've got the handling figured out a little bit better now, and I think we can keep the tires under.
Now, if my memory serves correct, and trust me, these last, I don't know, 6 months or so, my brain hasn't been all that trustworthy, but I would want to say that your last win came at Petty, didn't it?
No, actually, would you believe it's the only place I haven't won a race is Petty. We've won at every other racetrack, and it's disappointing. We've been really close in Petty, and the last few years we've been struggling a little bit to keep the rear tires under the car. And like I said, we have really good finishes in Petty over the years, and we just can't uh, can't seem to close it, but we're going to this year.
And that's the right way to look at it. You're heading there this coming Saturday, Petty International Raceway, New Brunswick. So what's the keys? What's the keys to victory this year, do you think, Bud?
I think you just got to, like I said, you got to get the, you know, the consistency of the car there and make sure you're not having any part failures and no flat tires. And in Petty, for sure, I think everybody will say the same thing, that there's no grip there. After about 30 laps, everybody's on ice, and it's we've often pitted halfway through that race just to put four tires on, just four cold tires to try to help you out, because it seems once the tires get hot, everybody goes to, just gets really slick. And anyway, we hope to get that problem fixed. We took some gear out of the car this year, and I'm going to try to slow it down actually a little bit as far as the horsepower goes, and hopefully that'll help us.
Slower is faster, right?
I guess so. They tell me that, but it's hard to get it into me.
That's like telling a driver to back up the entry.
Yeah. Save me some gas. That don't work with Greg Brown.
No, that definitely doesn't work.
Backing up the entry is one thing that I've been told for a lot of years, and I'm one of them guys that charges the corner pretty hard, and I'm trying, but it's so difficult to get that out of your foot.
That's right.
Right now.
100%. But that's also what makes racing so much fun to watch, you know, because every driver is the same. I love a driver that will drive it in as far as it can take it and then push it just a little bit further. That's usually the most fun part about watching a battle for the lead or a battle for 10th, because each one of you do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
How's the crew shaping up, Greg? You got everybody all set. I know your spotter is taking care of business on Facebook, but how's everybody else?
Yeah, no, Blake does a great job on the media side of it, and he's my spotter. And then I get Mark Hood there. He's been with me pretty well from the start. And I got Kevin Smith and Tyler, father-son duo, that helped me out. And we helped them a little bit with their race car here, and we actually supply them with a big motor. And we got Grant Peters helping us too. And yeah, I got the same five guys, pretty faithful guys, come. And we got Blake's wife even comes and does all the note taking now, and tries to keep track of our tires and stuff like that. And my father and mother, if it wasn't for them, you know, I wouldn't even be there. So their dad usually comes to the pits, and he runs the scanner and tries to keep me in line sometimes.
There's a chore right there.
Yeah,
too cool. I know we're so excited. We're going to be coming to PEI this year. Just announced this week, we will be broadcasting both PEI races live from Oyster Bed Speedway this year. Thanks to Atlanta Tilt Load and all the sponsors of the series. It's really going to be nice to make it out to PEI this year, out to your home stomping ground. And we're going to bring everybody, bring Canada along with us. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be a great time. We're glad to have you back for two races. It's going to be really nice, and perfect times of the year, too.
Yeah, it sure is. Good luck with the test on Tuesday, if you get out there Tuesday. Is Wednesday an option if Tuesday's no good?
I'm sure that they'll try to do something before the weekend to try to get us out. If not, we may try to go over to Petty Friday night. I think they have an open practice Friday night there, so. One way or another, we'll try to get some laps on her anyway before the first race.
Well, lots of the Island boys have got some laps on. I seen the 18 car was at Petty. I do believe the 18 Hicken. I don't know if he was there, but you can well imagine Jonathan will have some laps on. And Allison McKinnon, I seen a picture of his car. Man, everybody, Kent Vinson. There's a whole pile of you out there that everybody's geared up.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people are ahead of me. I know that. Like I said, we're just a little slow getting going sometimes, and anyway, we'll get her and we'll be there.
You want to believe it, Greg? This has been great catching up with you tonight. We sure do appreciate your time, and I sure look forward to catching up with you. The first parts for trucks race we'll have is June 1st, and we'll see you at Scotia International. Well, pretty close, Scotia Speed World.
Yes, no, we will for sure, and wish my mother happy Mother's Day. Mother's proud. I was up and seeing her there this afternoon, and she was just telling me I didn't get any lobster, so I figured maybe this will make up for it.
Good one, Greg. Good stuff. You have a good one, and good luck at Petty. I know we'll have our eye on you, bud.
Okay. No, thank you. Thanks a lot.
You bet. That's Greg Proud, driver of the number 29, the big red Dodge, Atlantic Dodge Dealers. Oh. What a beautiful race car.
Yeah, always a beautiful-looking race car. Always a hard-nosed racer as well. He has the knack of putting the nose where it shouldn't be, but then coming out smelling like a rose every single time. You know, he every single time that I've ever watched him race, he's got the ability to, you know, make that wily veteran style move where he's not going to dump somebody for the win.
No.
He will, you know, force the hand of the driver that he's racing. He's got a big following. When we were at Scotia Speed World, it's cool to see the following of some of those drivers in the Parts for Trucks Tour because the noisemakers are there. The fans don't just make noise for everybody.
Right.
The fans
right.
make noise for the people who they got their eyes on. And when we were at Scotia Speed World the last time, this is going back years. But, that is one thing that stood out to me is that, you know, Greg Proud had a massive following there at Scotia Speed World.
He sure does. And the Island guys, you know, when you look at the Parts for Trucks Tour, it is made up of all your maritime provinces.
Yes.
And when you look at the pockets, you've got guys that are coming out of the Halifax area, the Nova Scotia guys, the Andy Ganish guys.
Yep.
All in there, and you got, I don't know, 7-8 guys.
Yep.
Then you look over towards the island, and you've got another pocket out there of 8-9 guys. And then you get into New Brunswick, you got a few more from over that way. And when you put them all on the track, they're not only racing for their team. Everybody wants to win.
Yep.
They're also running for their province.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, they're representing them.
Yep.
And to see them on the racetrack, you can hear it in the grandstand. And it's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I equate it to the neat part about the Maritime Pro Stock Tour is that, just like you said, there are three provinces. Really four, because you do have a couple of guys from Newfoundland that have cars, right?
Yeah, Yeah, Will Farrell.
Exactly.
He's coming out.
Yep. So, but you do have, you know, three or four provinces. You've got four provinces represented on the racetrack. Really, no other series in Canada has got that other than the Pinty series, which is more of a national feel, right? When you go to Quebec and you hear the Quebec fan base scream for their home, you know,
their
province,
home guys, yeah.
That is something that's really cool. And really, you know, Ontario is more of a city-driven thing, right? You've got guys from Ontario, or Sauble Beach. You've got guys from Guelph and
Kitchener.
Toronto. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. It's definitely interesting that it's provincial out there. And kind of the step, you know, the direct step below the NASCAR Pinty series, just simply because of the provincial aspect and the way that the regional sponsors really back it, you know? And that's something that the APC series is building to, and that's also something that the Saskatchewan series, you know, the Saskatchewan-Alberta series is building towards as well. The regional partnerships are at the level where those types of companies can afford to, you know, play and be a part of the performance of the team as opposed to just, you know, sponsoring a sticker on a car. That has built itself to that point through, you know, massive hard work by the tour and as well by the competitors themselves. They are ambassadors. And, you know, hats off to the Pro Stock Tour for what they've got going.
Well, it's a hard deal, too, for the APC series being centralized right here in Ontario. Poor guys, they're in a province that's the size of most countries.
Yeah, exactly.
Ontario is massive. It takes days to drive. If you head west, it'll take you a couple days to get out of Ontario. And if you head east, well, it'll take you a good 8-10 hours to get out of Ontario. So
Correct. It
is a big province where, you know, out in the Maritimes, things are a little more closely connected and you go across borders all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a real cool atmosphere. Tell you what, Petty International Raceway for the season opener. You don't want to miss it. If you're out on Canada's East Coast, You got to get there. And how about, I got to put a shout out right now to Eastbound International Speedway. They had a great practice on Saturday. Bob and Mike and all those guys out there, they're all geared up. And NASCAR Night One comes up next weekend. If you're out on the Rock, you don't want to miss that. Just outside Avondale, 15-minute drive from St. John's, you got to go. And then, of course, what we've got going on here in Ontario, what's happening out west, there is just tons going on, including the NASCAR Pinty Series.
Hey, and one thing, I've got to – you and I had a conversation one night about painted rims.
Painted rims, yep.
Painted rims, right?
Nobody, versus chrome.
Everybody's got black rims or they've got chrome rims, right?
Right.
And, you know, I remember that conversation like it was yesterday. I got a message, you know, a couple – it was about a week and a half ago from Phil Fowler. Or from Phil Fowler.
Right.
He's like, a pain in my wheels. And he's like
–
it's so when you take a look at his car, though – man, does it look cool. And hats off to him for doing it because he's sponsored by the Orange Store, of course.
Oh, that's,
and
what
he's
a
got,
spot.
He's got orange wheels on his race car.
Really? I
got
to see
just
it.
Just a really cool deal. Also, we got to give a big hats off to the McFarlane clan out there. The winging it.
Winging it machine. Are you kidding
wow.
me, man?
That,
what a beautiful
it,
thing.
It's, if we were scoring best appearing car in Canada right now, I would have to give it to that one.
Yeah, Brandon
I think McFarlane. That I think Brandon McFarlane has got the best appearing car in Canada. That's a big statement, bold statement, but I mean it.
Right now, yeah. Have a look at it, the Winging It machine.
Good
number
job,
number 23. Good job, Brand. Good job, Glenn. Looking awesome. We got to hit this break on the other side. How about a 2-time winner of the NASCAR Pinty Series last year? How about a 2-time champion? We got Andrew Ringer coming up on the other side of the break.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris Morrow, driver of the number 11 limited late model, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Your summer starts at the Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Blancpain GT World Challenge, plus the Canadian Tire Action Zone, music, and fireworks. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada, contact your TV provider for availability now.
It's a brand new season in the APC Late Model Series. Saturday, May 18th from Sunset Speedway. Join us for live coverage of the DECO 100 presented by Quaker State.
Tighten them up because this is going to get wild.
Flag-to-flag coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 18th.
I think we're just a little bit quicker.
So you know you got to do.
The DECO 100, race one in the APC Late Model Series.
I kind of overdrove it a couple times and... hey, it worked out.
Join us at the track or tune in worldwide only on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to sunsetspeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flag-to-flag coverage of the Cummins 150.
We have a goal green.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flag-to-flag coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you tonight live. So glad you could tune in. Maybe you tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks. I sure hope you did. But if you didn't, maybe you tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com, which airs Racetime Radio a few times a week. Or maybe Gearhead Country Radio. Or how about 98.9 XFM, the heart of Antigonish, Nova Scotia, on the FM side. Or maybe you just tuned in and you missed part of the show and you want to go back and have a listen to it, no problem at all. Get to iTunes and just search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button, and then you'll never have to do that again. It'll be delivered to you each and every time we hit the air, including all of those live races, and we've got them coming up this Saturday, coming up at Sunset Speedway. The DACO 100, presented by Quaker State, the kickoff to the 2019 APC Series. It's going to be a barn burner. Be with us at sunset. If you can't, then definitely tune in live on Racetime Radio. Maybe you'll be at CTMP getting ready to go for the Pindy Series kickoff, a new season there as well. I know Sue's busy getting Andrew Ranger lined up. What's your thoughts heading into the Pindy Series, Joe? I know you're going to be a busy cat.
Yeah. You know, initially, the competition level has stepped up again for 2019. You know, it's an easy thing to say that every single year across the board. Because
what's the biggest change? What's the biggest change?
The tire is going to be a big learning curve for everybody.
Oh, general tire.
So stepping on to... You know, or stepping away from a tried and tested Goodyear tire that everybody has, you know, became accustomed to in the Pinty Series. Really, there hasn't been a whole lot of changes with that tire platform,
right?
Over the past, you know, 8-9 years in the Pinty Series. So I think that the tire now, really, if everybody's on the same tire, it's not that big of a deal.
No, but it does change longer life.
It changes the notebook dramatically.
Sure. Longer life, faster.
By the sounds of it, we're going to be a significant amount faster at every single track that
really?
We go to.
Oh, that's good. So are they a softer tire?
A little bit softer under heat, by the sounds of it.
Hmm.
From everything that I'm hearing, a little bit different sidewall complexion. So it's going to race differently. And if it's faster, then that means that they have a little bit more grip, which means that they're going to be a little bit more daring because they're going to have more grip.
Well,
so it's going to change the platform significantly at some of these tracks where you had the ability to ride before.
Right.
If the tires don't fall off as fast, you're going to have to be up on the wheel a little bit harder and get after it a little bit differently. So, NASCAR has kind of changed the game up a couple of times over the past couple of years with some of these races, going from, you know, live pit stops to now a brake race to now multi-brake race where you've got the ability to pick one or the other or pick both and lose track position. So I think that, you know, looking at it this season, there's a couple of races that are over the wall. Live pit stops, by the sounds of it, Jucasa, and then as well, both races at Mossport, which are conventionally, you know, the same. So I think that the tire is kind of going to be the talking point. Now, that being said, the competition level is another talking point because you've got Alex Labbe stepping back in with Jacomes.
Oh, yeah.
You've got,
there's a championship team.
Exactly.
Right?
You've got, you know, LP Dumoulin, who's got a 3-year sponsorship commitment from WeatherTech at the beginning of last year. Well, not the beginning, but at the Honda Indy Toronto, they announced that they were going to be with him for 3 years.
Defending champion.
So that means that over the offseason, LP Dumoulin was able to invest into the race team even more so. So he's going to come out, my guess, is even stronger than where he was last year, which was very competitive and very strong.
Right.
As well, we got to kind of point at Jason Hathaway. Now, Cole Powell was in that car last year. They were very competitive at every oval.
Yep.
I think that, you know, Jason Hathaway is just as competitive on every oval, but more so competitive on the road courses.
No rust on that guy.
No rust. But I will say that they also have a large name sponsor for the entire season. For them to come out and say that they have Kubota for the whole year, that's a game changer.
Sure it is.
You know, because last year Cole Powell didn't know if he had the funding past the Indy, you know, with Cops Bildall stepping up. And then, you know, so they had the ability over the offseason to really build Hathaway's program. And by the looks of it, everything is lined up and ready to go. So that's a big addition to the series.
Yep.
As well, you've got your DJK and you've got your Andrew Ranger, you know, full time back again. And you've also got Joey McComb's team, which is now CBRT partnered up with WMI with White Motorsports.
I think that's going to be the biggest game changer right there. I think Joey McComb and that team, everything that it's got to do with Anthony Simone being behind the wheel and everything that Joey's got laid out, coupled in Whitey building the cars now, I bet you, Junior, that is going to be the talking point at the end of 2019. The turnaround for that team, that chemistry, I think is going to be huge.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, it's definitely a game changer. It's not just building the cars because you can get a car and build it. I think it's the more of the maintaining portion from Whitey as well. You know, Whitey building the cars, looking after them, and then week in and week out maintaining them. The maintenance program that a team like DJK had versus a maintenance program that CBRT had is significantly different. And I think that Whitey will make a game changer on that front, as well. Just the little stuff, you know, that Whitey has picked up through the years will definitely be a huge addition to that program. So it's a hand in hand program. They, you know, the sponsorship ability that Joey McComb has to generate, partnered with the performance that Whitey has, is going to be it's definitely a potent mixture. So and then as well, the ability of a guy like Anthony Simone to drive the wheels off of anything every single lap, is going to be cool to watch. But that mixed with Mark Dilley going full time, bringing back NTN bearings, and he's got, Dilley has always had a lot of sponsors on the side of his car, but look at the 64 for this year. I've never seen so many sponsors on a NASCAR Pinty's car. And, you know, that going into it, if you've got that many sponsors, that many stakeholders heading into the season, it means that you're investing in your program as well. So, you know, all signs point to growth on the competition side, and that is a very positive thing. There's no names that are falling out of the series. You know, now JF Dumoulin is going to take a step out a little bit. He's gonna just do the road courses, maybe do a couple ovals. Kerry Mix is going to just do a couple races if he can, right? We had him on the program.
Right.
So we're not losing Kerry Mix because he also is having TJ drive the car.
He's been limited anyway.
He has been. Yep. And so, but with Dilley racing full-time, that's an addition, right? So really, in the grand scheme of things, we're not losing anybody. It seems like the past 5 years, we would pick up a couple, but we would lose a couple, right, and it would equal out. This year, by the sounds of it, we're just gaining. There's nobody that's stepping out and leaving the series. Brett Taylor's back in with CBRT, you know, and by the sounds of it, there's going to be a little bit of an uptick with Chantel Kalika. She's going to do a couple more races throughout the year on the Western side as well. Hokus might be doing a few more than he has in the past. And then Donald Chisholm, we heard he might do a potential up to 3 to 4 races this year with the Pinty Series. So that's a big addition. And then Julia Landauer as well, coming up and running for DJK a few times, five times by the sounds of it throughout the season. Plus, you've got the entire Steckley camp, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So the three returning guys, Steckley hasn't had three returning guys in a long time, full time, right?
Right. Full tilt, yeah.
Full tilt, same three guys, same three teams going after a championship again out of the 22 racing camp. The competition level is crazy right now, and it has only escalated over the offseason.
I feel kind of like bad that we have not got Alex Tagliani on in a long time here. And Tags, you know, has got to factor in as a championship contender, definitely going to factor in to be one of those guys that's got the huge potential of winning this coming weekend at CTMP. I'm kind of disappointed at myself for not getting Tags on this program, but that's what happens when we get busy. And, you know, things just keep rolling.
Absolutely.
I can bet we're going to hear from Tags one of these nights real soon. We got to.
It will be very interesting. And Tags was one of those guys where I'm picking up my information on the new tire side. You know, Tags, you know, has been vocal since the beginning saying that you know, the speed is going to be so much dramatically different on this new tire.
Has he been on these? He must have a little bit of...
So through the test, through the testing portion, I guess they bolted on a set down at the test. And, you know, a lot of the guys, by the sounds of it, that have tested, haven't tested on the new tire yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what did they have? Old tires?
Old
that
Goodyear
they were
tires
testing
that
on.
They were testing on and just knocking the rust off.
Right.
Now, there were lots of guys as well that tried them out,
right,
but not full cycle or anything like that. But, you know, talking and watching what Tags has been talking about on social and things like that, you know, he is one guy that's pointing at the track records to fall basically everywhere where we go. So which will be very interesting. A lot of these track records have stood for a long period of time, you know, since the Pinty series, or since it was the Canadian Tire Series, really,
right,
on the track record side. So it'll be very interesting on that front to see what happens on, you know, every given weekend with the new tire. As well, I think that you're going to have to take a look at you know, the 74 camp. You know, rolling into this weekend, Kevin Lacroix has been lights out everywhere now. You know, he used to be just a road course ace.
Right.
Last year, it seems like they beat themselves quite a few times. And, you know, they got into some rough situations. They, of course, got, you know, some bad luck and some bad things happened to them. But then, as well, there was a couple times where they beat themselves and bad calls would happen or you know, bad things would happen to them.
Right.
If they get that ironed out, you can't help but point at them as a championship favorite, just simply based on speed alone. You know, every time that they unloaded, it didn't matter if it was a short oval or the longest road course that we go to. Every time they unloaded, they were at the top of the charts.
Well,
and if they don't beat themselves, they will ultimately be the fast guys again this year.
You got Donnie Thompson Jr. on top of the box.
Absolutely.
He knows what he's doing with those cars.
100%. And really, the entire team, they've got a very hardworking team that comes out of their shop, their bumper-to-bumper shop. They've got a very smart group of guys, a very dedicated and motivated bunch of guys as well. And really, every time we would unload, it didn't matter if we were in Wetaskiwin or if we were in you know, Cayuga. There always seemed to be about 100 bumper to bumper shirts at the racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, fans and corporate people. They've got a very solid backing from the corporate partnership side. They come to the track guns a blazing, and it'll be really interesting to see if a couple of the teams have caught up. You know, I know that there was a couple of the teams that really set their benchmark speed off of the 74, and you know, everybody was kind of chasing that speed last year.
Well, we'll talk some more Pinties here in just a bit. I know Sue's working on grabbing Andrew Ranger. He must have something up. We can't seem to reach him right now, which is an oddity, because normally when we got Andrew lined up, he's right there. But we will continue to work on that. But what do you say, Junior? We have a listen back to the media center just the other night. In the NASCAR Gander Truck Series, they were on track this weekend. Big win for Ross Chastain. I guess there's no other way than, like, when we look at that race, the biggest disappointment of the night came with the GMS 52 entry of Stuart Friesen running out of gas. The poor guy ran out of gas with only a few to go, and he did have the truck to beat. But by no stretch was Ross Chastain a slow truck. He was right there the whole time.
Yeah, and really, it's not the poor guy ran out of gas. It's the poor guy pulled out of his pit stall too early. And that there's
miscommunication guaranteed.
Absolutely. There's a big difference, you know, between trying to push it on fuel mileage and leaving when it's supposed to be a four tire stop and leaving after only one can gets in there.
And only two tires make it on the
exactly.
truck.
Exactly. So, definitely a miscommunication, but that's called beating yourself. And, it falls on the entire team when something like that happens.
Let's hear from Ross Chastain right now. Here he is.
Oh, excitement, tears. I choked up in part of the interview out there in Victory Lane. Blew the tires out on it, doing my burnout. Did a little better this time than last time. So, yeah. Man, this stuff is so hard to do. Like, we all know it, but until you go through it, it's what American or sports in the world is all about, like comebacks and underdogs. And I've been called an underdog my whole career, and I'm tired of that. I get so sick of hearing that. I know they mean well when they say it, but man, I just want to win. And that's why I race everything I can. And this is, this is so awesome.
I tweeted out, break out the watermelon.
That's right.
And you know what? Today, your mom bought watermelon when we went to the and picked up some groceries. So that was in part to support Ross Chastain and his win.
That's right. That's a big win. And
huge.
And,
that was his first truck win.
Yeah, definitely. The first truck win. He had been in some really good equipment in the past, of course, with Brad Keselowski in a different time. It's really cool to see. It's not only his first win, but the Nice team. Really, they have invested a fortune over the past couple of years in truck racing.
Yeah,
consistent growth. But at the beginning of the season, they turned a corner, and really, with the whole DC Solar thing failing and all that stuff, and leaving Ross Chastain out in the cold, it allowed for some really big turns to happen for the Nice group. And really, when you look at the run that Chastain's been on in the truck series, he is laying down some numbers.
Sure
and,
is.
And it hadn't finished outside the top 10, until the Dover race. And went out there and he put a whooping on him towards the end of that race last night or Friday night. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they can put together from here to the end of the year. It's definitely cool to see. But it's funny. We all cried and said we want to keep a guy like Kyle Busch out of the sport and, out of the feeder divisions, right? Not we. I never said that, but
no.
The fan base did.
Right.
And you look at a guy like Ross Chastain, who races Cup, races Xfinity, and races trucks, right? He's going to be limited as well to what he can do and where he can race simply because of the rule that was created for a guy like Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
It is. It is, but it's nice to see that he got in there. He did get a win.
Exactly.
And with that team.
Yeah.
Like, really, really cool.
Nice deserved
that's
it.
That's their first win, too,
exactly.
Right?
First win for them.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
We're going to throw it back to Toronto here in just a couple of moments, get you up to date on the news and highlights, 90 seconds, and then Junior and I are back for hour number two. And coming up in hour two, we got Ron Fellow's going to join us. We're going to talk to Jamie Cox as he prepares for the Daco 100 APC season opener. And you never know, we may hear from Andrew Ranger in hour number two. We'll see how things work out here. It's going to be a busy 2 hours, I can guarantee you that. But we will be back with you in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll get you up to date, and then we'll be back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins here tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. We really do appreciate it. Listen, before we get to Ron Fellows in the interview that I got with him, let's have a listen, Junior, and let's talk about the Cup race. What a Cup race. Probably, as you mentioned off the top, one of the best mile-and-a-half track races that we have seen. Definitely in the Truck Series, but how about it in the Cup Series? That was good.
It was, and they needed it.
They did.
It has been needed. And to say that, you know, they've fixed all the issues. I don't think that they have, but they hats off to NASCAR, hats off to the drivers for actually racing, you know.
Yeah, and getting after it, right?
That's the point. You know, it's, I've heard the term NAPCAR used too many times when it comes time for
mile and a half. Yep.
And man, it was refreshing to see the excitement from the fan base. It was refreshing to see how excited the drivers were when they got out of the car. You know, it provided really good racing. Nobody could run away. You know, it was what racing is supposed to be. And it wasn't fabricated. There was no BS to it.
None.
It was still heads up. There was no BS calls needed for fake cautions to create excitement. The guys were comfortable enough to drive the car, but they were edgy enough to be fun. Overall, hats off to NASCAR. That's what they were envisioning with this package, and it's starting to come true.
I think it's only going to get better.
Yes, and I'm hoping that is true. But I will say, now they need to keep the engineers away from it,
and
they need to stop them from ruining it.
Right.
And you know, it was
good luck
with
that.
I was fearful, and I think a lot of people will back me up. I was fearful when I seen the Stewart Haas cars qualify 1 through 4.
Yep.
And the Hendrick cars qualify, all four of them in the top 10. Really, there was only 3 teams in the top 10 in qualifying. That was a fearful point. I thought, oh, golly, it was going to be a snoozer of a race. But then 11 cars got nailed in pre-race technical inspection.
Right.
And got tossed to the back. Now, I don't know the reasons why they all got tossed. I don't know any inner workings of that.
No, they just said tech, right?
They said it was tech. And it can be a million different things. They've got them painted into such a tight box.
And weird names, too. Like Landon Castle was in there, and Michael McDowell was in there.
Yeah.
Like, for guys getting moved to the back, those guys aren't going to do nothing.
Well, I mean,
like, to try and cheat the car up.
If you can, though, you're going to.
Well,
and it shows
obviously
that they can't.
Yeah.
But they have them painted into a very tight box. There can be a million different things that can, you know, throw the skew off, throw the body angles off, throw whatever off.
Right.
It can come down to anything as small as a nut loose or a bolt loose or a decal too thick on the valance. There's a million things that can throw you off in tech. That being said, the race was awesome.
Yeah,
and
it was.
And I hope they expand upon it. I think that they can. The air is still a part of this game, and until the air is no longer a part of mile and a half racing, it's not going to be perfect. But I think that was as close as you could get to perfect. So hats off. Big round of applause to NASCAR. Good job to the drivers and the teams as well.
Brad Kay ends up going to victory lane. It could have been Ricky Stenhouse. It could have been
Jones. It could have been Clint Boyer. Could have been Alex Bowman.
Man, could so have been many Chase different Elliott. Possibilities.
I mean,
Jimmy Johnson, where the hell did he come from? You know, like he was right up there consistently running up in there. Awesome. Brad Kay was the guy, though, that went to victory lane. Here's what he had to say, and he did talk about this part of the season and where we're at with this new combination.
It's hard to say where it'll go, but, you know, I feel like the season breaks down into thirds, and maybe I'm repeating myself to some of the people in the room, but, you know, you have your first third, your second third, and then, of course, the final part with the playoffs. And with that in mind, Kansas is kind of like, to me, a break point between the end of the first third of the season and the beginning of the middle stretch. And I think we really see kind of things kind of settle out by then. You know, the West Coast swing at the start of the season, there's a lot of comes and goes, and trying to understand the rules and the new and all the engineering behind it is a little bit tough. But when we get to this part of the season, I think you really have to shine, because this is what you've got. So it's nice to be able to win right here today. And of course, it's always nice to win. But in light of those thoughts or beliefs, I guess it's a good sign for us for sure.
Yeah, dynamite race. I don't think anything more needs to be said other than, wow, that's the word I come away with. What's your word coming away from that race? Mine's wow.
Yours is wow. Putting me on the spot here. I have to go boring, but I have to go exciting.
Exciting?
It was exciting to watch, and that's my word. If you got to describe it in one word, it was exciting, and that's refreshing. Because that's the first mile and a half that I would ever call that. I think that the All-Star race last year was the tip of the iceberg. It was fun to watch.
Right.
But they were going too slow. And, right. You know, really, it was fun to watch, but going too slow. I think that this year's All-Star race with this package is going to be really exciting. It's going to be cool. Charlotte's going to be neat. It's going to be exciting.
We got the long weekend dead ahead of us next weekend. Let's all pray for sunny and 25-degree temperatures. We know the action's going to be red hot at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. And let's talk about that Castrol Victoria Day Speed Fest that's coming up. And no better person to talk to it about than Ron Fellows. We got him on the hotline. Ronnie, how you doing today?
I'm very well, Joe. And you?
Fantastic, my friend. Another new race season upon us. And, man, have you guys got you got your homework done this winter. Man, we got a great, great Victoria Day Speed Fest coming up and a great season coming up.
Well, we certainly think so. With the help of our friends from Castrol, I was actually counting them up, and I counted a total of 13 races, starting with the Pirelli GT4 America Sprint X race on Friday afternoon, late afternoon. So we've got, we've Canadian Touring Car Championship, runs a doubleheader weekend. Pirelli GT4 America has they have three races. We have four races. And for not to get everyone, or try to break up some of the confusion, that what used to be just Pirelli World Challenge. So Pirelli GT4 America is the GT4 category class cars, which is very similar to what runs in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. The super quick GT3 spec cars are now in the what is called the Blancpain GT World Challenge. So that has they also are racing, along with as I mentioned, Canadian Touring Car, Porsche GT3 Cup Canada has two rounds, one Saturday, one Sunday. Nissan Micra Cup, one Saturday, one Sunday. The big dance would be 1:30 on Sunday with the NASCAR Pinty Series.
Yeah, you got to love it, right? How about that NASCAR Pinty Series this year? Hasn't things really exploded for those guys, and good on them?
Well, I think, you know, the 13th or 14th year for the Pinty Series, what was once the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, now Pinty Series. You can never say never, but it appears that it's a staple in the in the Canadian racing community, and between NASCAR and TSN and Pinty's, they and other relevant sponsors, they do a great job.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, they put on one heck of a show.
Yeah, lightning fast. I remember my first trip, actually, to CTMP and watching the NASCAR Pinty Series. And back then, it was the Canadian Tire Series. And seen Mark Dilley. And as I came through the gate, I said, Mark, I've never been to this facility, never watched you guys on anything but an oval. Where do I go at this facility? It's so big. Where do I go to actually watch you guys? And he said, Joe, see where that start-finish line is over there? I said, yeah. He said, I want you to go to your left. He said, that is the long, at the end of the long straightaway. He said, then we just sort of go up a little bit of a right-hander and then back to the start-finish line. He said, you want to see some maximum speed? You won't believe your eyes when you stand there and watch these guys come in. And you know what? Mark Dilley was dead nuts right. What an amazing show. And it doesn't really matter where you are at CTMP to catch these cars. You're never going to see the whole thing. But, man, wherever you're going to be standing, I can guarantee you're going to get your eyes full.
Yeah, it's the beautiful part of how this Alan Bunting and the British Empire Motor Club that were all part of the original. I guess Alan Bunting was the guy that did the layout way back in 1959-60 before it opened in 61, where you essentially have the track is carved through the hills. So you've got from turn 1 to turn 10 and back to the start finish line, you have this beautiful amphitheater like viewing around the whole place. It's just magic, and it was a genius move back then, and it just lends itself to with the speed of the corners, the elevation, whether you're in a high downforce car with big power or low downforce and big power, which is pretty much the NASCAR, whether it's Pinty's or our Chevy Silverado 250 event with the trucks, it just lends itself to great racing. So we're really lucky that way as race fans.
Every year, Ron, you and Carlos and everybody at CTMP over the last, well, you've got to be an owner there over 10 years now, I would well imagine, or pretty close to it, if not more. But every year you guys do something to improve that beautiful facility. How about this year? You got, is there any changes that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, the only thing we've done is a lot of fine tuning. We've changed our concessions around. We now have the Johnsonville Grill in the infield. Johnsonville has expanded their partnership, so there are official hot dog and sausage. So if you come hungry, we've got PayPal as a new partner. The beauty is, I think that with the effort and the work that's been put in by us as partners and our staff, it's growing in terms of our partner reach, and that's the good news.
Well, if you've never been to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, I tell you what, this is a great weekend to strike out there and pick up Victoria Day Speed Fest. It's going to be a dynamite weekend. Something to see and do every single day, including the Canadian Tire Fun Zone on the infield. When you get to this place, you'll see exactly what I mean. And tickets are on sale now. You can pick them up beforehand or mosey on up to the gate. You can get them there as well. But Ron, spoke just a couple of weeks ago with John Bondar with Canadian Tour Car. Sounds like things are getting explosive there, too. Those guys are in for a good one. Should relate into a really good show this weekend.
Yeah, you know, you look at the... before I forget, so, yes, you brought up the Canadian Tire Action Zone. That is that's one area where our friends at Canadian Tire have expanded. So for kids and families, don't miss it. There's lots of cool activities and giveaways. Make sure you come by the Canadian Tire Action Zone in the infield. TCR, again, if you look at certainly road racing in general, the manufacturers, a lot of manufacturers are building purpose-built race cars. Mm. They've been doing it for a while with the GT3 category, and which is essentially that car can compete in like the Blancpain World Challenge or the GT Daytona class. Then there's some spec car series that like the Lamborghini series. Porsche has a similar GT3 model in a spec car category. The GT4, they've also now done, manufacturers have built what's considered this TCR category. And it's a touring car, but it's a global, whether it's TCR, GT4, or GT3, so it's a global specification that the manufacturers have to build these cars to, but they're purpose-built race cars. The TCR is a front-wheel drive, super quick and affordable. They look like slightly smaller versions of the DTM, the German touring car.
Oh, really?
They're really cool cars. Their lap times are similar to GT4, and they're certainly in. It's growing quickly, and John Bondar has a number of TCR entries, and good on them, and they're really cool. Honda makes one. Volkswagen, Hyundai, Audi. Right now, I think Audi is probably the most dominant manufacturer in terms of the number of cars out there. But they're all building these TCR category cars, and they essentially buy it from the manufacturer and push the button, go racing.
Isn't that amazing? The technology today in these cars. Imagine back when you were full blast in your career, there was only so many choices, and really you guys had to purpose build your car. Look at it today, even like with the Micro Cup Series.
Yeah.
How cool can you get it? You order a car, and you can actually go compete with it.
Yeah, no, I, and bad on me, the Micro Cup is a perfect example of entry-level racing that's inexpensive. Get you a Nissan does a great job with it. They're front-wheel drive, and again put on a great show. And it's the beauty is it's right now it's a Canada only, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. And when they're on the track, there's a whole herd of them. It's not bees, it's thunder bees. Here they come.
With less than 100 horsepower, they drafting even at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is a factor.
Yeah, and it would be, right?
Yep.
Yeah, amazing. Let's talk some NASCAR Pindies, shall we? Look at the landscape we've got. LP Dumoulin, last year's champion, loaded for bear, ready to go. You got guys like Andrew Ranger. You got DJ Kennington coming off a win the last time out. So at the end of last year, coming off a win. He's got some momentum. He wants to win on the road course. Anthony Simone hooked up with Joey McComb this year. That whole new effort that they've got put together. We got some exciting stuff coming at us this year. I think we're going to see some new names in Victory Lane.
Well, it's entirely possible, and I think you can look at some of the regulars and stalwarts like Andrew Ranger, as you mentioned. Yeah. Did Andrew have a bit of an off season last year? Yeah, maybe. Incredibly unlucky in a number of times. I would maybe put my money on Andrew for 2019.
Yeah, or tags, right? How can we talk about it? We didn't even mention tags, and he's going to be out there too. Another guy that's a threat every time he gets in. Even if he gets into a hauler, the guy's a threat to win.
and the great part about it is when you've got super talented guys that have been around, drivers rather, like Ranger, the Dumoulins, etc. What they do is provide a great benchmark for new drivers coming into the Pinty Series. If you can beat those guys, you're doing something. It reminds me of the Players GM Series back in the 80s that I competed against as a relatively inexperienced driver. You know, the guy that was our benchmark was Richard Spinart.
Yeah.
He had, he'd won in Can-Am, Trans-Am. He was Villeneuve's teammate in Formula Atlantic, and here he was, back home competing in a showroom stock Camaro because it was so lucrative. And if you could beat him, you were doing something. And mm-hmm. I see that in the Pinty Series as well. It's a great place for young guys to be able to measure themselves against some really, really talented veterans.
And let's face it, what you can learn coming up next weekend at Castrol Victoria Day Speed Fest can go a long way to what's going to take place when we come around to that Silverado 250 weekend and we get those beautiful NASCAR trucks on this side of the border once again for our annual ultimate NASCAR weekend, if you will,
indeed,
at CTMP. A lot of information you could learn, and I wouldn't doubt we're going to see some of those truck guys popping in different series.
Well, they traditionally they have in the past. To get a little bit more road race practice, you'll see a few of the Gander Outdoors Truck Series drivers jumping in for a Pinty Series race and getting a little extra seat time and just working on a bit of racecraft.
Yeah, it never hurts. How about you, Ron? How have you made out over the off season? I bet you're still itching to get into a race car and go compete. Is that ship sailed now? Are you finally settled down that you're not behind the wheel?
Well, it's really kind of sad when as a former professional racing driver, where now job gets in the way of fun. The only thing I've done the last couple of years, and I'll do a few this year, is Tony Perella, who owns and runs the SVRA, the Vintage Racing Association, has a number of events. He started this Vintage Pro-Am series. He calls it V-Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Vintage Race of Champions. So he's got a bunch of old fart former pros, and he teams them with predominantly 60s and 70s vintage Trans Am series cars with owner drivers, and we do a Pro-Am. So it's 50 minutes, and I've been lucky to be teamed up with Dave Roberts, who's retired president and CEO of Carlisle Industries in the U.S., and he's been involved with Carlisle owns some automotive brands. Hawk is one of them, the Krager. So I've done some racing for them in the past, and Dave and I have run this 69 Camaro Trans Am car at a few of these V-Rock events. And, yeah, there's Al Unser Jr., Bill Elliott, Mike Skinner, a bunch of Indy cars. So the series runs at and they have sort of feature the vintage drivers from NASCAR, vintage from IndyCar, and sports car. So it's been a lot of fun.
You gotta love it. Are they coming to CTMP?
Not yet, but they might.
Come on, Ronnie, you got to get on that.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
As if you haven't got enough to do.
Very indeed.
Yeah. Is that the same series? Do you see Adam Carolla? I know we had Adam on, probably 2 years ago now, but that's what he was into, was some vintage racing with one of Paul Newman's cars that he had.
Well, there's two or three big vintage racing sort of sanctioning groups in the U.S., but Tony Perella, his is SVRA. I know there's another one that's HSR, is another sanctioning group, so... and then there's a West Coast, I believe there's a West Coast group as well. But we, the V-Rock, as Tony calls it, is strictly with the SVRA. So this year it's three races. We've already had one. We had a disappointing DNF.
No.
But there's three this year, one on the Indy Road course, and then VIR in September. Apparently, if all goes well, Tony's going to try and get more races in 2020, and that'd be great. But 50 minutes for a couple of old guys is plenty long enough.
Yeah. Well, that was a practice session to you before, but...
that was then.
Yeah, that was then. This is now, right? Incredible. Ron, I know we all look forward to Castrol Victoria Day Speed Fest coming up next weekend at CTMP. Going to be lots of racing action everywhere, but definitely that is one that fans should check into. You can camp. You can go for the day or go for the whole weekend, and
indeed,
I guarantee you're going to have a good time. Ron, this has been great catching up with you tonight.
Thank you, Joe.
You take it easy. Have a good Speed Fest, and I know we will be talking to you throughout the course of the summer. You have a good one. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Always a lot of fun with Ronnie every single time. Always a wealth of knowledge.
He is, for sure. And, you know, it's really cool to hear him talk about the manufacturer cars, you know, being put on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, from the manufacturer. This is, of course, not a new concept at all. Right?
Right.
It's the NASCAR business model from the 15 to now. Race on Sunday and sell on Monday. And it is so cool to see that in the road course racing community. That is one of the coolest things. I hope we can get there. I've said this for a long period of time. The amount of classes in the oval side of things is so on top of one another. And they're all fighting for people to be driving in them. In the classes,
right,
and it's too cutthroat at this point in Ontario. It's too cutthroat across the border in the U.S. There's a million and one racing divisions. If you can throw a dart at the wall and hit a division and drive in it, you know, there's way too many combinations. When you look at the manufacturer specific model, it falls right in line with that Legends and Inex model of having a spec car, a spec motor, a spec chassis, and everybody's got the same stuff. Get out on the racetrack, make your adjustments, and go racing.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that is so cool to see playing out in the road course racing world. I hope we can see more of that into the future on short tracks. And it's something that is needed. I think that will make racing prosper. And I think you're seeing that in sprint cars, right? And in dirt in general. Really, there's not a whole lot of differences between chassis manufacturers in sprint cars. You're seeing, you know, relatively the same thing. You can pick up a chassis from Tom, Dick, or Harry and race a sprint car. And look how many of them there are. There's thousands of them. If not hundreds of thousands of them across the United States and Canada, and that is the reason why it's they're very spec. You know, you can do whatever you want to the motors, but the chassis are all what you got, and that is something that is so needed. Road course racing is doing that right at this point in time.
They sure are. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk APC and that Daco 100 that's coming up. Of course, presented by Quaker State. We're going to have it live for you on Racetime Radio. One of those guys you're going to hear a lot about on Saturday next week is going to be Jamie Cox. I can just about guarantee you, and you're going to hear from him tonight on Racetime Radio. He's on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
this is Ray Dunlap from Speed. Make sure you tune in to Racetime Radio to see what's going on in the trucks.
Your summer starts at the Castrol Victoria Day Speed Fest, May 17th to 19th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Blancpain GT World Challenge, plus the Canadian Tire Action Zone, music, and fireworks. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Castrol Victoria Day Speed Fest, May 17th to 19th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage of the Cummins 150.
We have a gold green.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flight-to-flight coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
It's a brand new season in the APC Late Model Series.
Have a gold green.
Saturday, May 18th from Sunset Speedway. Join us for live coverage of the DECO 100 presented by Quaker State.
Tighten them up because this is going to get wild.
Flight-to-flight coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 18th.
I think we're just a little bit quicker.
So you know what you got to do.
The DECO 100, race one in the APC Late Model Series.
I kind of overdrove it a couple times and... hey, it worked out.
Join us at the track or tune in worldwide only on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to sunsetspeedway.ca.
Taking you all the way to the track and back, it's Racetime Radio.
And we're back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Man, we're getting excited for the long weekend coming up. And I'll tell you what, that DECO 100 presented by Quaker State, the APC Series opener, is going to be a barn burner at Sunset Speedway. It's really going to be one for everybody to absolutely take in. And our next guest has been working his tail off to make sure he can get out there and win that one and kick the season off the way he wants it. Let's welcome in driver of that number 22. We got Jamie Cox on the hotline. Jamie, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Fantastic, my man. Y'all set for a brand new season?
Oh, yes. We're ready to go, raring to go.
lots of work through the off season. New car, same car as last year, rebuilt. What do we got?
We got the same car. We're just doing things a little bit different this year. We're got ourselves associated with McCall Group a little bit more, and they're working on our stuff a little more, and hopefully that's going to make the difference that can get us right into the top there.
Ah, turn the corner, try something different. That's what the name of the game is, right? You got to try different things to get different results.
That's right. That's what we're going to try, and I think it'll work.
Jamie, you've stepped into a black race car for the first time in a long time, and a new look rolling into a new season. Always exciting. I know you guys change it up every single year, it seems, but Jamie Cox back in a black race car has got to mean some pretty gnarly things heading into the year.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, because I've always had good luck when my modifieds were black, and I'm hoping we can turn things around with that. And I love the look of the car this year. It looks really nasty, I think.
It does, 100%, and I urge all the fans to check it out. Of course, APC posted it right there on their page, but take a look at it. Hats off to the graphic design team. Who ended up doing your graphics on there? It looks just spectacular.
That actual design actually was Ryan Dyson.
That's cool. He does some really nice work, doesn't he?
Yeah, he did a good job on that.
That's really neat. Heading into 2019, Jamie, obviously looking over your shoulder and taking a look at the field of APC cars, there's lots of new hardware rolling out on the racetrack, as there is. It seems the last couple of years, the amount of new hardware on the racetrack has definitely went through a big spike. What do you got to do to put that 22 back in victory lane on a consistent level?
I'm thinking we just have to be really consistent, and just as long as we get a pretty decent car under us every race, I think we can do something with it. It's just the level of competition each year goes up and up. There's so many guys on that tour that can win a race, and it's just very tough.
What do you attribute that to, Jamie? Obviously, the tight rule book and a lot of really good competitors, but it seems like year in and year out, it has climbed the ladder and really got more difficult every single year to go out there and park it in victory lane. What do you attribute a majority of that to?
I just think the rule book is a very common sense. It's affordable to a point where you're racing at a top level like that, and it's still common sense rules. So that's, I think, what it gets the guys. They look at that and they see the level of competition. A lot of guys, they want to race against that level of competition.
And a mutual respect, too, I would imagine, right, with the guys. They got new hardware. This isn't a new series by any stretch. Now we're getting some history, and, you know, you're getting more used to running against the guys that you're running against, and there is some mutual respect. Do you find there's more today than there ever has been?
I almost think so. Like, year one was it got a little bit hairy at times, and now I think everybody has some respect for each other, and it's a really good group of guys we have running, and I think for the most part everybody does have respect for each other.
I don't know whether it was year one that, or was it year two, that we went through a real bad stretch there where cars were getting destroyed every single week, it seemed like. And then it leveled out, and everybody went, okay, enough of this. But I can remember that one stretch where it was a real tough, tough gig.
Yeah, I think that was year one. And I think that's where, when you get guys coming from all those different tracks, champions from everywhere, and everybody just expected to come out and run at the front. And you're getting guys from running so many different tracks, they don't know the tendencies of every other guy. And I think it took a little bit of getting that straightened out before things got going smooth.
Jamie, of course, looking back, you've been in a pro late model now for a very long time. What is this now? This has got to be 8 years now.
This is going into our ninth season.
Ninth season. So, for the longest time, you raced modifieds. You were a kingpin in modifieds. You were a big fish in a relatively small pond. And you took a jump and you stepped up into pro late model on a full time basis. Talk a little bit about that transition, into jumping into a pro late model and where you are today, and where you're going with it. I think the fans will get a kick out of your story and kind of taking a look at your a little bit of your history, but also your vision into the future.
Well, we ran modifieds for a long time. We got 9 championships in a modified, so. So when Luke came along with the proposal to run the late model deal, I said, yeah, I want a shot. I always wanted to try it, but I just didn't have the backing behind me, and he was able to secure that. And that was the stepping stone to get in a late model. And then once we started running it, it's definitely a different animal compared to the modified. And I feel we've done fairly decent with it. We've got a couple championships, the Delaware Championship, and then a Triple Crown at Delaware, which I'm happy that we got that. And that was kind of one of our goals, to at least get a championship in late model. But I would love to win a race in the Tour.
Absolutely.
When you guys came out of Delaware Speedway, where you ran on a regular, consistent basis all the time until all of a sudden the Tour fires up, now you get a chance. And I know, Jamie, you'd always tour around, too. You'd get to some of the other tracks occasionally. But now with the APC Tour, you guys are consistently going to places like Sunset, Flamborough Speedway, Sauble, Delaware. You guys make it around. Do you feel at home now when you get to those other tracks? Is it still a thing where you go, oh, man, we got to go back to this track or that track?
No, for the most part now. I like most of the tracks that we go to. Most of them are really good. It's a challenge to go to the different tracks, and what's nice is when you do that, there's always somebody that's kind of their home track. So you usually get your turn at taking a shot at where you're the best at, but for the most part, you just try to diversify yourself and get good at every one. You have to be.
And it's cool, too, right? When you start getting results in a place that you never used to get results, it sort of pays dividends, and you start enjoying it more so than looking at it as, I got to get through this one to get back to this one.
Yeah, but I think the worst thing that you can do is tell yourself that you hate a track, because you're never going to want to go there, and I don't think you're ever going to do good there.
Yeah, that's about the way it sizes up too, right?
Absolutely.
You gotta love them all.
When you talk to any, you know, of the NASCAR drivers or anything, it always seems like a go-to thing. What's your favorite track? The next one. Well, they have to do it like that. There are tracks that they secretly hate, that they secretly cringe. But if you ever go into the mindset of, I don't like that racetrack, you will never do good at that racetrack, right?
That's exactly right.
Jamie, I want to, you know, kind of zero in on you as a driver. What would everybody describe you as a driver? Are you a hard-nosed racer? Or are you, like, what do you think that everybody would describe you as a racer?
I don't really know, to tell you the truth. I would think, I think most of them respect me. I will race people the way they race me. That's how I put it, I guess.
Absolutely. That's the way you want to be.
100%. Yeah, and if a guy starts running me dirty, I'll run him dirty. But otherwise, I want to run people clean and just race hard.
What would it mean to you, Jamie, to come out of the box Sunset Speedway next Saturday night under the lights and get that first win? How big would that be?
It would be huge.
I want to be at that party. That party would be spectacular.
Oh yeah. Year one, when we first started on the series, we finished second there. We were close. But, yeah, that would be huge just to get that first win, and especially to start the season off with that. That just seems to get the ball rolling good, and then everybody's on an up note and wants to go at it harder.
Are you a points chaser? Are you looking at those markers as the season unfolds, or do you kind of wait till mid-season or beyond before you start opening up that page and going, here's where we are?
I always kind of watch it. I always have. Not to say that I don't race to win, but I always kind of watch the points, and I want to finish up in the top in the points.
Yeah, and how cool is it with the APC series, too? Big carrots all over the place. Not only does it pay out really well, but you get a chance to go on a trip. I know J.R. Fitzpatrick had a gas.
Yeah, when they do that and they take the racers on the trip with them on the APC trip, it's usually top-notch.
Jamie, looking at obviously you're full time in the APC series for this year, and looking at APC's kind of involvement into the local track level, the local Saturday night level, their contingency program for this year, of course, throwing some additional money out to guys who participate and you know, work on the regional level at Flamborough, Sauble, or Delaware. I believe Ann Sunset Speedway if I'm not mistaken. But do you have any plans, or you know, do you have any you know, other races that you're going to be taking in throughout the 2019 season to maybe take part in some of those contingency dollars?
Well, we were planning on running. We were going to run this past Friday. Well, the first Friday, Delaware was going to race, and then this past Friday we were going to race. Obviously, got rained out, but we had planned on doing that, and we plan on going out there and supporting the track. I don't know what other ones. We maybe sneak up for a Salvo, one of them. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Cool.
How about test time? Have you got much of that in that black, beautiful machine you got now?
We were out a couple weeks ago, Saturday, and we got a good test in, and felt good with the car. Felt really, really good. I was very happy with it.
Much different than last year? Did you gain in a certain spot, or does it just feel good and solid?
The car just felt really solid. It just felt like a car that would stay underneath you. And that's the problem I've had in the last couple of years. I could make the car fast, and it just wouldn't stay under me. So I think we have something now, because we went out and tested on older tires. That's what you're going to be running on at the end of that race. And I felt we were running really good lap times, and the car just felt consistent.
Yeah, it's tough for teams, right? You guys go out and you test, you take a day or what have you. You go out, you give it your all, you get a good baseline, you put it together with the notes that you had from that track the year before. Then you go out and you target a race. The biggest difference is now the sun has gone down. Now you've got either a cooler night or a warmer night than you had in testing. How much can you learn in a test? I know, you get the feel of the shock or you get the feel of this, but when you get into race conditions, not necessarily is it going to be the fastest guy that is going to win that race.
No, and that's the thing. We've even done it before. We've gone to a track where they had a test the night before and felt very confident in the car, and then the next day the track was totally different. And when that happens, you're scrambling then, wondering what happened.
Back to the notes, right? Back to the notebook.
Yeah.
Definitely. Incredible. Yeah.
Looking into the crystal ball a little bit. Obviously, you've been strong every single time at Delaware Speedway. I've seen you run really good at Flamborough Speedway. Is there any place over the winter where you kind of put some work into specifically for that track or specifically for that race?
I wouldn't say for one specific race or not. Just trying to make the car better so we can be better at, like I say, all tracks.
Yep.
Obviously, Delaware is one of the ones we circle to have a good run at, and we usually do, but that's one where I know I have a really good shot at. But there's other places, yeah, I want to get better at Sunset. We were good there a few times, and other times we were not so good, so I'd really like to be better there.
Well, this Saturday is going to be your opportunity to shine, Jamie. I know we can't wait for it. Fans are coming off the chip, and I know teams are too. This is really going to be an exciting kickoff.
Yeah, I think the tour has gained so much momentum. And like I say, the guys that are running this, the series, the level of competition, just the whole field is stout.
Final question for you tonight. How about on the box? How about crew? Everything all set there? You got any changes with personnel?
Not so much. Like I say, the guys at McCall's, they're doing a bunch of stuff, and that's kind of where we're leaning on. So if we have any success, then I'd say that's a good part of it coming from there.
Well, and the guy behind the wheel, Jamie Cox, you're awesome to watch on that speedway. And now I'm going to have to get used to looking at a black car.
That's right.
That black number 22.
There's a lot of black race cars rolling into this season that haven't been black for a while.
Yeah.
There are, you know, when you look at the APC Tour, I've been seeing lots of photos and lots of guys, you know, posting some photos. There's some bright colors out there, but then there's also a lot of black race cars, and that usually means there's a lot of guys gunning for gold. So it's going to be interesting, Jamie.
Yes, it will be. I'm hoping this, like I say, this black car is going to change things around back to our championship ways.
Good deal. We're excited, my man, and we thank you for your time tonight on Racetime Radio. Always like catching up with you.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. We'll see you Saturday.
For sure.
That's Jamie Cox, driver of the number 22 for APC and a whole host of other sponsors. That car looks great. Sounds like Jamie is in it to win it.
Yeah, definitely. He's got, you know, when you look at the partnership model that they have, just a really strong contingent of the sponsors, of course, with London City, you know, Chrysler on there, and then Fram and Total Lubricants. And they've always had a stout marketing program. They've always been strong at the racetrack, but that partnership with McCall, when you look at what McCall has done, you know, McCall has got some very fast race cars and turned around quite a few programs, so it's going to be really interesting to see what they can put together. You can hear the excitement in his voice. Another guy, though, right? It's not it's not a little task to move from a you know, a sixth or seventh place car to a second or third place car. That's not a little task. That is a massive task, and you know, there's a lot of guys trying to do the exact same thing. So it's going to be interesting. He's the type of guy that can get it done. He's a hard-nosed racer and definitely a classy guy at the racetrack.
Final break of the night. Then we're going to come back, and I don't know, maybe we'll do some picks. Big, big weekend coming up. We'll see who we got, who we're going to take. But we'll do that after the break. Stay with us.
This is Corey Musker, driver of the number 39 Broadway Service Can-Am Midget. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Your summer starts at the Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Blancpain GT World Challenge, plus the Canadian Tire Action Zone, music, and fireworks. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Castrol Victoria Day Speedfest, May 17th to 19th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Racetime Radio hits the road Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've been waiting for this for 7 long months.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage of the Cummins 150.
We have a gold green.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
I think you can get it done.
Saturday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
From pre-race to post-race, including live flight-to-flight coverage.
I only steer the wheel.
Only on racetimeradio.com. For event tickets and details, get to scotiaspeedworld.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
It's a brand new season in the APC Late Model Series.
We have a gold green.
Saturday, May 18th from Sunset Speedway. Join us for live coverage of the DECO 100 presented by Quaker State.
Tighten them up, because this is going to get wild.
Flight-to-flight coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, May 18th.
I think we're just a little bit quicker.
So you know what you got to do.
The DECO 100, race one in the APC Late Model Series.
I kind of overdrove it a couple times and... hey, it worked out.
Join us at the track or tune in worldwide only on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to sunsetspeedway.ca.
New to SiriusXM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa! Cut it out.
Lucky us. What a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right. No sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Only on Faction Talk. SiriusXM 103. Or listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
Everyone wants to be on Canada Talks, including Oprah Winfrey.
The biggest step is the first one. And before the biggest step is the decision to take it. You know, I think everything happens when you decide. And once you decide, the universe arranges itself in alignment with that decision.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167. And on demand with the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Thank you, Ked. Thanks for bringing us back here live tonight on Race Time Radio. Junior, we've done a lot of previewing. We've been doing that since, January, since we got back on the air. And we've been talking about this weekend that's coming up. Let's start on the east coast of Canada. Petit International Raceway, the Parts for Trucks Tour, will kick off the 2019 Chase to the Championship. Who are you thinking, out of all the guests we've had, and we've talked to quite a bit of the field, who are you thinking will come out the other end at Petit International Raceway? You only get one choice.
Cole Butcher.
Okay, you're going to go with Cole.
Yeah, Cole Butcher has got, he's got the prowess. He's got the, you know, you could ask me this for every Pro Stock Tour race, and he would be the name that would jump out of my mouth.
Okay,
He's got to be the favorite heading into the season. The kid has built himself to the point where he's untouchable, and that's a very bold statement, but he's got to be a favorite every single week.
Okay, I am going to go with the number 5 of Jonathan Hicken. I say that when it comes time for Petit International Raceway and, the Mike Stevens Memorial Race, the longer races that Wayne has had at that speedway. Jonathan Hicken has quite a few victories. So I'm going to take Jonathan Hicken for victory at Petit International Raceway for opener. Okay, let's move into I got to do this quicker because the APC Series race, the Dayco 100, who are you going to take there?
I have to go with J.R. Fitzpatrick.
You're going to go J.R.?
It's Johnny Van Dorn, J.R. Fitzpatrick. They're going to be very fast. I am spotting for Brandon Verhoeven, hopefully a top 5 for Verhoeven. Hopefully we can get out of the box strong, but I have to go J.R.
Okay. I'm going to take Andrew Grozel, and I'm going to take that for a reason. Watched him go from the last chance qualifier to victory lane the last time we were at Sunset Speedway on a Velocity 250 weekend.
Yep.
It's the same sort of scenario. Remember, racing both days at Sunset. The APC races on Saturday, but there is a huge card on Sunday as well. I got to take Andrew. Brand new race car, brand new everything. I kind of think you're going to see the old Andrew with brand new stuff.
Yep.
That's going to be cool.
I think so too.
Pinty's.
Andrew Ranger.
CTMP.
Andrew Ranger.
Andrew Ranger.
Yep.
Okay. I'm probably going to go with Tags.
Yep.
Tags is going to be the guy.
Yeah, and you know what? All of these things are not like the other.
I know.
It's going to be interesting. We are just pulling names out of our butts right now.
Yeah.
It could look completely different. But if we were placing bets, that's where my bets would lay.
Yeah, mine too.
I mean, there's absolutely no favoritism on that. I just it's the way that it is. I think from here where I look, I think that's where we're going to stand. So I got to wish Mom a big happy Mother's Day. Of course, Sue, she pushes all the buttons here, but massive Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Thank you for everything that you do. But as well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, but mainly to my mom.
Yes. And our hearts and our thoughts are definitely with Kenny's family. Kenny Askin has passed away, and anybody that's a race fan in Ontario, you know Big Kenny. Yes. And he's left us, and our hearts are broken.
Yep.
He was a dynamite guy, a dynamite race fan, and a faithful listener to Racetime Radio.
Yep.
And I can tell you right now, we're going to miss Kenny.
100%.
There is a GoFundMe page as well. You can get the link right off Racetime Radio's Facebook page. Please click on it. His mom, Linda, would appreciate it. I know all of us will. Anyway, let me see here. Got to thank Susie Q right here in our studio for hooking us up with everybody. And got to thank everybody back in Toronto, as usual, and you for tuning in to Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for doing that. Tell your friends. Hit like. Tell your friends, and we'll tune in with you or come back again next Sunday night here on Racetime Radio. And don't forget to join us Saturday live from Sunset Speedway for the APC season opener, the DACA 100. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight. Have a good one, everybody, and we'll see you at the races.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.